Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Here now, Alabama on a second down play. Mack looks wide open, left side. Najee out of the backfield, makes the grab at the 10. Cuts inside the defense. He'll fire for. Mack straight drop. Mack looks long. Mack finds Devontae behind the defense. He is in for a touchdown. Thank you, Mr. Heisman. Thank you, Mr. O'Brien, and Unitas Award winner. What a combination. 44 yards, touchdown, Alabama.
Craig?
Yes?
Our betting strategy blew up on our face last night.
Did not work.
So, FanDuel offered Alabama to win straight up at just about even money. So, instead of just making a quick $50, Craig and I got greedy and also bet Ohio State plus 8.5.
Which figured, I'm sure surprises everyone. We got
and
greedy.
Figured we could double up and win both. Alabama to win the game and Ohio State to lose by 8 points or fewer and try to middle it, as they say in the sports betting business. And instead, we lost $5,
$4
and 55
cents.
Yeah, but it's like what would be the blackjack equivalent? What do they say? Never split, like we split tens or we split queens or something.
Yeah,
like
never
that.
Split tens. Never split tens.
Which I do all the time.
Arthur, you like blackjack, buddy?
I used to be a blackjack guy. You know, I'm in a better state of mind right now. Sometimes
a better state of mind. What's that supposed to mean? When you're down in the dumps, like? You were playing blackjack like a madman?
No, never down in the dumps, but sometimes, you know, kind of how what you just said about you and Craig, right? You outsmart yourself a little bit. You overthink it sometimes. Mm. Well, sometimes when it comes down to, you know, are we splitting this right here? All right, I got an 11 here. Okay, do I double down this? I get a little anxious. I get a little greedy.
Okay.
And sometimes, now for me, I'm fine with it, but my significant other, my wife, sometimes a little bit too much for her to stomach. So, for the betterment of the team here,
okay,
we're going to stay away from it. Okay.
The problem with blackjack is that other people at the table are playing. That's always
it can hurt
my
you.
Issue
That's the part
with it.
I hate.
Yeah,
it
can you can't, you can't, man, you can't help when, like, somebody's got 17 and the dealer's showing a 2, oh, and they're gosh. Like, no, hit me. Like, right. I want to turn and just put my
vomit.
Fist right through their jaw.
Or that.
And literally give them what they
yes.
want. Hit me.
Yes.
So, no, I can't mess with blackjack too much just because I feel like I know what I'm doing and I don't feel like everybody else at the table, chances are, knows what they're doing.
I barely watched the game last night. I would say I watched the first 10 minutes live. I only watched 10 minutes live, and I watched most of it back today, and here's why. I had a pounding headache when I left work yesterday, probably because I got no sleep the night before, and the game just sucked the life out of me. It just...
Wait, why did you get no sleep the night before? Hold on. You're burying the lead here. Why'd you get no sleep the night before?
Because I was riddled with anxiety thinking about what to say and how to say it the next day.
Oh, God.
Hmm.
Okay.
And so...
Yeah, I was pretty comfortable with saying they sucked and it's over, but to each his own.
Right. So I needed something for my headache. I looked through our cupboards and I found NyQuil. It says headache on it.
It says
it does. Headache. It says four headaches.
Arthur, it's like one of those horror movies where each decision that the main character makes is worse than the last one, and it just compounds their misery.
It Dude, it knocks your ass out. It really does. There was a non-drowsy version.
Yes, it does.
There was a non-drowsy one, DayQuil, and then there was NyQuil. I said, oh, it's nighttime. I might as well take the NyQuil.
I mean, isn't NyQuil one of the ingredients in, like, is that, no, wait, Scissorp was what? Was something else, or lean has
that
just
Tylenol
codeine
with
in it,
codeine,
right?
Yeah, that was
yeah,
that
Tylenol
was
and codeine.
That was cough syrup with codeine. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I mean NyQuil's not far behind on the list of things that you know you probably don't want to be mixing with other substances.
I wasn't. It was just a tranquilizer dart that knocked me out, and so okay. I barely watched any of the game. I woke up to see how my bet did, and then got through, not much more, a little bit more. But, you know, people might be thinking, Andrew, why are you playing Alabama highlights in the national championship? Why are you talking about it in Pittsburgh 2 days after the Steelers got knocked out of the playoffs? Here's why. Because I'm already into now scouting mode and thinking about what's next for the Steelers. And there are two, I think, interesting subplots for the Steelers that emerge out of last night's game. Two things to think about, to ponder. The draft is in April, right? They don't know when the combine's going to be. That's up in the air, but the draft is April. The Steelers are the 24th pick. Two things that happened in last night's game that I think are on the table. The first one is the running back, Najee Harris. And I see Caboli, who we're going to have on in about 15 minutes, right? The Steelers should use the 24th pick on a running back. He wants Rashard Mendenhall 2.0. He wants them to go to the running back well, because the Steelers are so thin and weak at the position, and there are great players like Harris who had 150 yards and three touchdowns, I think, in the first quarter last night, and he wants the Steelers to take him with the 24th pick. I will start that conversation by saying, and then I'll open it up to you guys, I will start by saying I absolutely hate that idea. Chris?
Yeah, seconded. It's a bad idea. Like, Najee Harris is great and all, and so is Etienne from Clemson. I don't think, you know, short of Barry Sanders himself, you could have somebody who could have run behind this line. I just, man, that idea from Mark seems so unbelievably short-sighted to me, and so much trying to, like, cure the symptom and not the disease. The disease is that their offensive line got old and terrible overnight.
That's what you do when
positions.
You have an embarrassment of riches like the Chiefs did last year, and they say, oh, what the hell, we'll do what everyone says not to do and take Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the 32nd pick, because why the frig not? We're playing with house money. We just won the Super Bowl. We're stacked at every position except running back. We've got Daryl Williams, and that's about it. So we can actually go out there and do something that's a short-term move and not a long-term solution for us, because we have Patrick Mahomes as our quarterback. The Steelers don't have that situation, Arthur.
No, you're absolutely right, and I agree with both of you guys. I feel like O-line is definitely what you have to address unless you're doing something major at quarterback. If you know that, all right, we're going to move on from Ben, or Ben is going to retire or anything like that, well, then obviously you're going to address the quarterback position. But if you're going to have Ben at quarterback next year, running back isn't the main issue. You have to adjust the offensive line. Number one, that's the narrative that even Caboli had brought up and told us was the biggest reason why they were passing the ball under, what, 2.2 something seconds, right? Mm-hmm. So if that's the reason for the short passing attack and not Ben Roethlisberger and his downfield accuracy, if that is truly the case, well, then the draft and free agency should implement.
Even
should
if you move
that,
on from Ben.
That.
Even if you move on, that would signal that you're thinking, I think, beyond 2021. Why would you want to start that transition with a running back in the first round?
No one takes them anymore in the first round. It's a wildly devalued position.
But you also have to remember, too, teams like the Giants, right? When Daniel Jones was still young, if I'm remembering correctly, yeah, Daniel Jones was taken before Saquon. So
no.
Think about that.
No, yeah. It was the opposite.
No, after.
No, I'm saying next. The opposite. Right. So I did
Barkley
say it the right
was
way
picked,
then. Yes.
And then the next
Saquon
year they picked
was picked
Jones.
First. Right. So Saquon was picked first because he was ultra talented, right? Mm-hmm. And even though they still had other issues, they brought him in there and he did provide a spark. And now, obviously, it's caught up, but he has to stay healthy, and then they can keep going on. But another one is Christian McCaffrey as well. Mm-hmm. We have seen instances where you have an elite talent, a guy that can come in like that and be the face
of
the franchise.
Okay, do you look at Harris that way?
Now, that's the difference. I personally don't. I think he's a really good back. I don't think he is in the same category as a Saquon and as a Christian McCaffrey, which is why I wouldn't take him in the first. If they're not generational talents, if they're not one of those, you know, 5-year staples in your franchises, I don't touch running backs in the first round.
Craig, you want to make it a clean sweep, or you're the guy that says Roethlisberger can still sling it, can still get it done, still has Super Bowls in his future?
Yeah, and because of that, he needs somebody to protect him. You go offensive lineman, not running back.
Okay, all right, so clean sweep there. All right, the other one, and this is the other subplot for the Steelers from the championship game, and I'm going to say something about him before we actually analyze him as a player. I need to thank Mac Jones for something. Because the picture he took after the game of him smoking a cigar took the heat off of me. For about 48 hours, me without a shirt on and overalls was all the buzz. Everybody making fun of me. Everybody comes out of the woodwork now and acts like they're on a Peloton 12 hours a day and they're watching Body by Jake videos at the ass crack of dawn and has all kinds of critiques of what I look like without my shirt on. Okay, that's Twitter for you. That's the, what did Charles Barkley call him, Craig? That's Twitter. That's, in a nutshell, those people
sitting
out there.
Sitting home in your grandma's basement with the drawers on, typing on your damn keyboard. Yeah. Shut
Mac
the
Jones
up.
Has Mac Jones kind of looks like he's got that sitting at home in grandma's basement typing at the keyboard
and that,
body.
That's
you know what, who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Zach Duke, who I remember I was in the Pirates clubhouse for the first time. Like
you're
I had ever gone in there as
Zach
a reporter.
Duke right now?
No.
Wow.
Well, no, I just
throwing
no.
On the bus.
Yeah, I don't think I'm
for
throwing him under the bus.
A flabby man dad's bod?
So, like, you go into there thinking, like, these are pro athletes, they're baseball players, maybe it's not like football, but these guys are going to look like they're in way better shape than me, right? Mm-hmm. Zach Duke walks out of the shower, he's got, like, his towel around his waist like normal, and I am just struck at that point, just, like, watching him walk by going, like, that dude looks like somebody's out-of-shape dad. Mm. He looked just like Mac Jones looks. He looked like he, you know, obviously he had a pretty good left arm and he made a nice career out of it for himself, but, like, yikes. It was eye-opening that apparently Zach Duke wasn't there eating asparagus and steamed chicken and whatever and plain rice every day and putting in the time in the weight room, let's just say.
Jones set a record for the most passing yards in a college football playoff national championship game with 464, also five touchdowns. He set a college football single-season record for efficiency, that stat. He is, of the quarterbacks that are projected to go in the first round, the only one that the Steelers could reasonably have available when they pick at 24. The one guy that might be on the board for them when it's their turn to make a pick. So I'll do the same thing we just did with picking a running back in Harris. What do you guys think of the Steelers taking a guy who's built like me and plays quarterback with the 24th pick, Malzi?
Don't love it. Because I think teams put a lot more value on that position than they did even when Roethlisberger was drafted how many years ago. I think
so
teams
what's don't
are,
love it mean? Maybe they do it? Like you're not you
No, wouldn't. I don't want them no, I don't want them to do it. I don't think he's a franchise guy. I have a big problem with Alabama offensive skill talent, especially at this point. It feels like it's hard to judge them reliably because they're so much better usually up front than everybody else. Especially I shouldn't say skill talent, because the wide receivers are always
yeah,
legit.
How about Derrick Henry?
Yeah, how about Trent Richardson?
Okay.
I mean, do we want to play that game back and forth? They've got good skill guys usually at wide receiver, and running back can be like hit or miss. Like Trent Richardson's the bad, Derrick Henry's the good, Mark Ingram's in the middle, etc. But man, quarterbacks there, like does anybody for sure believe that Tua is going to be a bona fide star in this league, especially after watching him this year?
For sure, no. I wouldn't say that, but I do think he gets the benefit of it.
Sure.
I do think he gets the benefit of the
doubt. What about like a Brody Croyle? What about like all these dudes that have come out in the last several years when they've had these great teams?
AJ McCarron, Brody Croyle, those guys were middle to late round picks. They weren't guys who were projected to go in the first round, and they didn't have seasons like the one Jones just had there.
Great. I don't have a ton of faith that an Alabama quarterback can be something you put a lot of stock in, because I think there's an idea of what happens when everybody around them is, on the other team
okay, but
is
why,
as good as they are.
What makes Joe Burrow's 2019 season different from Jones? They both came out of nowhere. They were both one-hit wonders in the SEC. They both
Joe Burrow went out against Alabama and humiliated them, and that counts for something against that defense for me.
So because Jones can't play his own defense with the cameras on, we're not sure if he can.
Well, because I don't know if Jones against his own defense would be doing what Joe Burrow did to him.
And listen, I'll say this also. In terms of the Joe Burrow conversation, I mean, it worked out for Joe Burrow, right? But think about Dwayne Haskins. It was a similar conversation surrounding him. Spectacular season, a ton of talent, record-breaking year. Can he do it at the NFL level when it balances out? And we saw how that played out. So I understand what Chris is saying, and I do share that same sentiment in terms of you can like these guys from Alabama, but because they are so talented, their teams are so deep. I mean, you watched that game last night. Well, granted, Pony, you didn't because you were asleep. But anybody that watched it in real time, you could see as good as Ohio State was, they were overwhelmed. I mean, that second quarter, it got gory. And then from there, it was nothing that team could do. And when you see that, it makes you wonder, like, man, how am I really going to evaluate these guys when they are – I mean, they're fourth receiver.
Arthur, can you tell me the last time Alabama – can you tell me the last time Bama trailed in a game this year?
Like, seriously, it's crazy.
It was October 17th. I was just asking. It was, what, Florida, it's been
right?
almost
that
3 months.
The closest game they had.
It was Georgia, and it was almost three months ago that they trailed. How on earth can you evaluate Mac Jones in a situation where there's adversity when he faced literally none?
Let me get my opinion out on this. I think he is a Tommy Maddox type. I think if you picked him in the with the 24th pick, that's what you would be getting. A guy that if everything around him was perfect or good, you could reasonably expect to win with him. But he's not a force multiplier quarterback. He's not a guy that on his own makes everybody around him better. That's my early read on him. So I would not use the 24th pick on him. But
okay, I was just about to ask.
But let me just add this in. I don't understand to Chris's point. Then why does that only count? Why does that only work against Mac Jones, but it doesn't work against Devontae Smith? Why is he, for whatever reason, again, guy that was totally off the radar, had been productive, but nobody looked at him like this until. Man,
I know the answer to
like
this.
Like, the halfway point of the season, like, even four or five games in, Waddle was considered better. He wasn't even looked at as the best wide receiver on his own team.
Wait a minute now. Some people put Waddle ahead of them, but a lot of people were big on Devontae Smith last year as well because he has been productive. The biggest difference to me between the Mac Jones versus Devontae Smith comparison and why we are crazy high on Devontae Smith but we're skeptical of Mac Jones is because for the quarterback position, we know – your O-line plays a big portion of that. Your running back plays a big portion of that. Your receivers play a big portion of that, right? You have to have multiple variables to help you be successful. And wide receiver, this is cut and dry. Is can you beat the guy across from you? There right. is no, hey, did that guy protect? Did this
it's
guy the run the
Arthur, it's the reverse
it's
of the NFL.
One-on-one.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
When Bama quarterbacks are up for discussion, mm-hmm. it's the reverse of the NFL. The quarterback is the unknown commodity, and everybody else around him makes him better. In the NFL, yes. you need the quarterback to be the guy who does the opposite.
Yeah, I would. We're all on the same page here, unfortunately.
I appreciate the effort at Devil's Advocacy, but Arthur and I, we didn't even plan this before the show. We were like the Browns. We didn't even practice together, and we came out here whooping.
You back on that? No.
The new rage is that quarterbacks need to move, and Mac Jones looks like he's got a body by Pillsbury.
He looks like a body by Brady. They were making Brady comparisons, his mannerisms, all that, like the way he looks even.
Now, this is the thing that I wanted to know. Everybody, I kept hearing it last night, Mac Jones can't run, he can't run, but we saw him make timely runs.
Yeah, he did.
Or timely plays with his legs yesterday.
But it doesn't look natural.
And we saw him do that the week before. I said to me,
it doesn't look natural,
I thought it was very similar of how Ben ran early in his career. It's not the fastest, it's not the most elusive, but
it's effective.
If you time it right, it's very much effective. And at the NFL level, I understand the whole dual threat is the new wave and all those things, but we still see quarterbacks that are able to throw the ball but can have run effectively. Patrick Mahomes isn't the most fleet of footed, but he runs effectively. Right. So to me, I'm not looking for Lamar Jackson. I'm not looking for Josh Allen legs. I'm looking for someone that can throw the ball and give me effective running. That's what I'm looking for.
All right, so we're all in agreement. We don't want the Steelers to take the guys who were making the plays last night, and the ones who did will not be available to them. At 24, like Smith, he'll be gone in the first two or three picks, probably.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,